Welcome to Decades From Home, a podcast about Germany. I'm Nick Houghton of 40%German.com, and I'm joined by our man in the Nürnbergland, Simon Maddox, and coming straight out of Bonn, stalwart producer Simon Josie, to discuss the weird and wonderful side of living in Germany. Hey, Simon. Hey, producer Simon.
Hello.
And producer Simon is off mic because he's on holiday. Big holiday maker that he is. He's in France. Is that where he is?
Perpignan.
It sounds like a brand of mustard. A tasty mustard.
It probably do have a really nice regional mustard.
Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me. Those pesky French and their delicious mustards. Anyway.
I am now terrified that Perpignan is not in France.
It's not. It's in Belgium. Oh, so you idiot.
Is it Belgium? Okay. Oh,
no, it's not Belgium. No, I was making that up. Don't trust me and my geography. Remember, kids, I was booted out of my A-level geography class halfway through the...
It's a commune in France, according to
there
Wikipedia.
You go. They do love a commune up there. A department and a commune. They love that shit.
Capital of the Kingdom of Mallorca during the 13th century. There you go.
That's a very obscure fact. Very nice. Although this is neither a France podcast, nor is it a Mallorca podcast. It is, first and foremost, a Germany-based podcast. And to celebrate that fact, our first segment is not going to have anything to do with Germany. Anyway, it's practically impossible to know when this episode will be released. Producer Simon's upcoming/happening now holiday has required us to record a series of non-sequential Quentin Tarantino-inspired vignettes, making it slightly easier for our Bonn-based button basher to edit this week's show. It's because of this that I have no way to gauge how topical my opening segment is going to be. I mean, for all I know, it's going to come out in July. However, since we mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, or was it 4 weeks ago? I can't quite remember. And I really want to see if I can make my erstwhile co-host Simon cry on the podcast. But the UEFA Europa League champions for 2025 are only bloody Tottenham Hotspur. Well done, Simon. You must be a very happy man.
Well, I'd like to thank the Academy for their hard and diligent work.
You did all the work.
I was there on the sofa cheering my team on. That matters. That's really consequential.
It really does.
It really does. If you're not watching, your team's going to lose. And you have to live with that debt forever. 21st of May. It could be a month when this comes out.
Who knows?
Yeah, happy days. Like, it was one terrible game of football, and everyone who's congratulated me, because people have congratulated me, because it's been 17 years since a cup and 40 since a European one. Everyone has said congratulations. Happy for Tottenham. Also, the game was awful. That's been the two sides of that coin that have been thrown my way. What a glorious, I don't give a shit feeling. Like, it was not a good game, but I loved it. We played five at the back for 20 minutes for the first time in 2 years, which was terrifying, but it worked. And seeing Man United fall again is delicious.
That is always good. I don't care what anyone says. It's a delight. I'm sorry if you're a Man United fan, dear listeners, but...
I mean, it kind of depends how old you are as a Man United fan. If you are our age and you're a Man United fan, then... you've had all the glory.
Like, get in the bin.
Yeah, fine. I you can lose some. If you're a young United fan because your dad was, I do feel a little bit sorry for you, because it has been a tough decade. But it's been much tougher as a Spurs fan. So, yeah.
I will say, I love how football kind of brings people together, and the way my experience of that kind of connection with people I don't really know was one of my students. I was talking in the class and I mentioned something to do with Tottenham and that they were playing in the final, and I think I made a joke and I was like, oh, we all know that Tottenham aren't going to win. And then this voice in the back row went, yes they are. It turns out one of my students is a fervent Tottenham Hotspur fan.
Did he explain why?
And just likes them. I think he went on holiday to London, likes them, connection. Posters on the wall kind of fan, so
you'd
like them. But yeah, and so we managed to have quite a pleasant conversation about Tottenham's chances. He was certain that they were going to lose as well, and then I think it was the following day, or like a couple of days later, I saw him. He was waiting for me as I was opening one of the classrooms, and as I said, turned out all right, didn't it? And he's just like, yeah, it was pretty good. It was really nice. He was really, really pleased with how things went. But equally, he also said it was the worst game of football I've ever seen.
It's up there.
There's no highlights. It's like the highlights are a save and a goal, I think, pretty much.
There was a goal line clearance from Mickey van der Ven, which was one of the greatest I've ever seen in my life. It was magnificent.
Overhead kick. Isn't it not a joy in an overhead kick? My God.
It was. I mean, I've already got quite a man crush on Mickey van der Ven, and that's just solidified it. When he leaves, I will be very sad. Now watch as I bring this to Germany, because this is how this podcast is magic sometimes. One of the things that's wonderful about winning anything is that our club captain, Hyungmin Son, has finally had some success with a trophy. And of course, Hyungmin Son started his professional football career in Europe, in Germany. And of course, we bought him from Bayer Leverkusen. And Sonny is not the greatest communicator in English. Like, his English is fine, but he's not super comfortable on camera, especially. But because of his German connection, he was interviewed by the German press immediately after on the pitch. And he did a really nice, fluid, passionate conversation in German. Like, his German is better than his English, even after 10 years of living in the UK. And that was really nice to watch him being interviewed by DAZN, I think it was, and do a lovely little interview in German and be hugged and celebrated. And he said to Harry Kane, of course, in German, I won't do the German, I'll do the translation. Harry, we've also won a trophy. So that was really nice. I'm not sure if Harry would understand it, because I don't know how Harry's German is these days, but it was a really lovely moment.
I saw a video of Harry Kane speaking fluent German. It turned out it was AI. So
yeah, I got that sent to me as well.
I don't really know. I mean, I imagine it must be passable to a certain extent. I think he's still living in a hotel, isn't he?
No, not anymore. No.
But yeah, I think it's just a really nice end of the season. It was like I was saying the other week about how it always feels like summer's about to begin, because the football starts to kind of dry up. And that's exactly what this kind of moment was. It was like, all right, now we're hitting the summer. I'll start getting the shorts ironed.
Pair of shorts you allow yourself.
Yeah, exactly. My punishment shorts.
What is a little worrying is looking at the calendar, because we have 3 games left this year, effectively. Mm. On the 31st, we play Arsenal in a friendly. On the 7th of August, we play Bayern Munich, which we're planning on going to.
Oh yeah, I desperately want to go to that. That'll be really, really cool.
And then a week after, we play PSG. And of course, Paris Saint-Germain just battered Milan in the Champions League final. Because we won the Europa League, we get to get battered by them. So get to watch the UEFA Super Cup.
That Bayern game's between those two, the Arsenal game and the PSG game. So we might just be able to have like a little window of, regardless of whether Tottenham win or lose, it's a nice friendly, it's a good day out, it's a fun time had by all.
There'll be some good vibes, like Harry reuniting with the players, there'll be hugs and handshakes. Line. It'll be really nice. It'll be lovely.
Yeah. It's my opportunity to try and convince Harry Kane to come on the podcast. So I'm just going to shout at him from my seat and go, Harry, do you want to do a small podcast based in Bavaria? We put out weekly content.
Oh, decades, not dickheads.
No, don't call. No, that's the producer. He keeps saying dickheads.
It might work. It might work. Worth the 40 euro entry fee to shout at Harry.
There's worse plans.
We've had worse plans.
I mean, we've executed worse plans. So, I mean, here we go. Anyway, the last thing I'll say on the topic is, when we did speak about this, the potential for Tottenham to win a trophy finally after such a long time, was it 17 years, you said, you promised you'd record a 30-minute episode of you singing. And the first thing that producer Simon asked when the game finished was when we can expect that to be released. So can you tell us now, tell the listeners, when you expect to release your first debut solo 30-minute recording?
I don't think anyone wants to hear me sing for 30 minutes, but I did send Simon a lovely little reel of stadium noise and said, loop this. And we'll see when that happens. So maybe September, we might hear that, depending on how long the holiday goes. Yeah. Simon is driving to Spain in an E car, so he might be back just in time for that. I will just say, our dare is for Sarah to dare us to do. Tottenham have done it, and that's my version of singing for half an hour.
At the end of every episode, we implore our dear listeners to do us a favor and relieve us of the burden of researching for the podcast. Yes, we actually do research. I know it's surprising. You assumed we just made this shit up, didn't you? Yeah, we ask you to drop us a DM or an email with a suggestion for a topic to discuss on the show. Well, after months of waiting by the mailbox, praying for a missive from a lovely listener, we finally received a topic suggestion via Blue Sky, which isn't email, guys, but I'll take it, okay? So, I'm assuming it's Walter, not Walter. But
He's definitely not called Walter. It's Walter.
Yeah. Walter, who's at schreddenwinkel.de on Blue Sky. He said, I've got an idea for a topic you could talk about, if you haven't already. The infamous Maltzeit. I hate when people say that, and I usually answer by going, Tach, or something similar. So, there we are then. Let's make Walter's dream come true. How do you feel about Maltzeit, Simon? Better yet, how do you explain it to the uninitiated?
Well, Maltzeit's one of these really weird things that you can go to school and you can study German. I studied German until A level, and so until I was 18. And at no point did the phrase Maltzeit crop up in a lesson. So it's one of these things, you land in Germany fresh and waiting to start a new life, full of expectation, and you go to an office and everyone you see says Maltzeit. And you're just like, what the fuck is Maltzeit? Like, you know Mal, thinking like times, and then Zeit. So in your head, you're like, times, time? Maltzeit? And it's just very confusing. And after a couple of weeks and months, you start parroting it back and you say Maltzeit and you think, okay, I'm integrating. But what it means is a mystery.
Still don't know what it is.
Yeah. Unless you are like a full-time employee who has a canteen, and then it reveals itself slightly better. Because of course, Maltzeit is basically, let's eat soon, is sort of the offer. And it is a very, very, very dominant phrase. But these kinds of phrases, I say, they aren't really taught. So I might mention this already in the podcast, but when I first moved to Bayern, to Franken, everyone I met said either Servus or Grüß Gott. Mm-hmm. And Grüß Gott is clear. Like, you're like, okay, Grüß Gott, I can understand what this means. Grüß, I know. God, I know. But Servus, I didn't know what it was for a long time.
There's no like balance or reference you can pull for.
Even if you do see it written down somewhere, it's like done in Fraktur. So you can't read it because it's not a standard font. Like, nobody writes it in Times New Roman. It's always just some like old school German shrift. And for a good like maybe 3 or 4 months, I was saying sehr grüß, because I thought it was sehr viele grüßen, like contracted. And nobody corrected me. And then eventually I saw it written down. I was like, oh, it's Servus.
I hate that shit.
No.
Like, someone you'd hope. But I guess it sounds phonically almost the same. And so people may just assume that you were saying
a speech impediment or something.
Yeah. They'd
be like, oh, why is he always eating whilst he's talking? It's a Servus.
Yeah, Servus was one that really caught me out. Maltzeit, I just couldn't comprehend for years. I heard people saying it and I never really used it. Because I just didn't know what it was. It just seemed like, because in my mind, it was just the translation I came up with was like essentially happy lunchtime. Like, people were like, happy lunchtime. And I just didn't really, I hadn't cottoned on to it having a kind of a use of any kind or an actual, has an actual meaning behind it. Because like you said, when you directly translate it, it makes even less sense.
I mean, it is a famous phrase, and I think, did you share that sketch from Gerhard Polt?
Yeah, the one where you say Maltzeit to everybody.
Yeah, so it's in a canteen, and there's two people that work in the canteen, and they are just constantly greeted with Maltzeit. All conversation, Maltzeit, 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 Maltzeit. And it is like that in a lot of German businesses and canteens. So it is something that's really ubiquitous, but kind of confusing if you're not sort of taught how to use it well. So, I mean, what's interesting is, like, what are the alternatives?
Are there alternatives? I didn't know there was alternatives.
There are a couple. So, I mean, in the idea of, I mean, this is what Career Bible website, I don't know if they're a Bible website. So, they give...
Career Bible.
Yeah. You can just say guten Appetit, but of course, that's at the table. You can't really be doing that. Guten Hunger as well, at the table. One alternative that I like and I'm going to start using is Schöne Pause. So, everyone, Schöne Pause, Schöne Pause, Schöne Pause.
Yeah, that's quite nice.
The fourth option is just Hallo or Guten Tag. And of course, that leads us very neatly into the regional versions of just hello. Because again, you can study the language, you can get to A level, and you don't know the regional versions of these. Now,
I feel like hello is an alternative for multi. It's just so, it's like the anemic option. It's the option like reduced to its like basest elements.
I think you'd get some looks as well, like you're on a Siemens campus and someone says Malta, and you say hello. Yeah. We're like, who's this person?
Well, I mean, walking around a Siemens campus, that was all you got. Honestly, it was ridiculous. And it did feel a little bit like, it felt a little bit like school, but also because there were these big canteens, but it also felt like this is a Victorian factory, because everyone would just pour out of the offices and the factories and just head towards the canteen all at once. And God forbid that you turn up on Curryverse Day. Oh my God, then it's just the end.
That queue is a serious business at that point.
It never ends. Really never ends.
I mean, there are also some Siemens locations where there are like red brick buildings, so it does really add to that Victorian vibe. I definitely get that.
Yeah, anyway, you were going to give me the alternatives.
The alternatives for the Guten Tag, which of course works everywhere. You can say Guten Tag anywhere in Germany and it will be fine. You can also do Hallo anywhere. That's going to be fine as well. Of course, where we live in the land of Marcus Söder, a lot of people are going to hit you with a Grüß Gott, and a lot of people are going to hit you with a Servus. Mm-hmm. Down in the southwest, so I don't know if this is also a Schwaben thing, Grüezi is of course the Swiss variation of it.
Lots of people around skiing areas say Grüezi.
Yeah, and you might also in that area get a Grüß Euch, or a Grüßi, or a Grüß Ihnen, depending on your article requirements.
Because Grüß Euch is nice as well, because it's like a collective, isn't it? It's everyone. Yeah.
It seems to be on the Swiss border, and a couple of places in Austria will say Hoi, H-O-I. Hoi.
Like that.
Which is nice. Hoi. Really like that. Hoi. I mean, there are all these different ones. Like if you, like Braunschweig, someone who's written Tach.
Tach is one I've heard. We've talked about that before, like this word Tach.
Mm.
Not a fan.
Morgen, M-O-R-J-N.
Morgen.
Like Morgen.
Yeah, but it's like a soft G sound. Where's that?
This is someone from Braunschweig.
Well, how far north is Braunschweig?
It's, for us, it's a long way north from where we are.
Because that's it, isn't it? The thing I was thinking about, that soft G sound, is it's not one you hear. It's very sort of solid G down here. There's no softening of that particular letter. So it's quite interesting.
One that you will have also heard, and maybe have forgot, I don't know if it's still a big thing, but in the Augsburg region, Ade,
yeah. We had that in, I had that in Nürnberg as well.
Yeah, in Nürnberg, in Franken, it's really, instead of Tschüss, Ade.
I've heard it, but I heard it much more in Franken than I did down in Augsburg. But occasionally you get some escaped Franconian roaming the streets.
Wild, frenzied eyes.
Just changing all the plosives to D sounds.
FFB zwei Masken, bitte. Yeah. Again, my stupid instincts, when I first heard Ade, I was like, oh, that has to be some sort of like Germanification of adieu, the French goodbye. That was my instinct. So I was thinking, oh, they're so French and European here. And so, no, it's just Ade, A-D-E. I don't know much about the origin of it, but you do hear that a lot as well.
Ade. I mean, how do you feel about people? Because you hear occasionally people say merci, like, especially in urban, cool urban areas, people say merci instead of thank you or Dankeschön.
I mean, as a born and bred Englishman, it hits my blood pressure.
Just get my back up straight away. Yeah. Like, I love France. I genuinely love France. I'm like, it's from the bottom of my heart. It's one of my favorite countries. It really is. I've got a lot of time and a lot of patience for that lovely country and its cheeses. But the there's still a part of me that, like, if Newcastle beats Paris Saint-Germain or England beats France in the rugby, or so, there's still a part of me that's like, that's good.
It's not our fault. We've been indoctrinated by thousands of years of history, like of us just irritating each other for centuries.
I mean, let's be honest. They started it by invading us in 1066.
Let's not get into the start of war. it's not a good look.
The Norman
for the
invasion is still it's still fresh in my mind.
I think we can leave 1066 behind. It's not necessary to revisit that.
I mean, we almost beat them as well. It was close.
It was
on penalties. No, anyway.
One thing I also love is talking to Germans. Obviously, castles are a big thing. I think it's 25,000 castles in Germany.
Wow.
But nowhere has more castle density per kilometre than Wales.
No, it's renowned for having more castles per, like, it's per square mile or per square kilometer.
They were both metrics. It would be
still
supposed to be the winner. But when you show like Germans like a traditional like Norman era English castle, like they're so unsexy. When you see these like beautiful, I mean, obviously Neuschwanstein isn't a representative castle.
It's still beautiful.
It is beautiful, but it's not a realistic one compared to. But even like you see the Wasserschlossen up in the north in Münsterland, they're so beautiful, and we build these just like really like just functional like forts.
you're really tempting me here, aren't you? I know we've got a different segment, but you just start talking about history, and it's no. What I would say is, I mean, it depends where you go. Mm-hmm. The Romantische Strasse around. There's this road that sort of seemingly goes through every state, but mostly through Bavaria. And there's some really lovely, both functional and beautiful castles. Quite often you'll pull up to a Bavarian village and there'll be quite a nice kind of castle and keep. If you're lucky, you get a moat maybe. So you get some very functional castles, but a lot of them are the ones that managed to survive or were a necessity after the 30 Years' War, because the 30 Years' War destroyed and they pulled a lot of stuff down, you know, and got rid of stuff. And especially around like the border regions where Neuschwanstein is, you've got like old, like kind of decrepit castles that they've pulled down. But you're right, you don't have, like, when you see the kind of fare that you have in the UK. But the UK, these are like, most of them are pretty ancient though. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't get the beneficiary of all this kind of modern technology that you see in Neuschwanstein.
Yeah.
And as beautiful as it is. Actually, it's quite like the Hohenzollern, I think, castle. That's a bit further north, but that's got a similar kind of square turrets and crenellations, and it's got that vibe. But a lot of it's for show. I would say a lot of the British castles were pure functional.
Exactly. Got to protect ourselves from those pesky French.
Oh, God, those French again. Oh, get off my lawn. But the...
So this was us answering a question.
this is what happens, listeners, when you ask us a question. It goes a little bit haywire, but hey, who cares?
I think, to be totally honest, the greeting that I love the most in Germany is just, nah. Nah.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
I like a Hallo zusammen. I've always liked that. And I don't know why I've kind of enjoyed that. And I do like the old knuckle rap on a table when you're in a bar and it's a group of people.
Okay, that's a lovely move. Everyone likes that. I do like it. The goodbye and the hello and the I've ignored you all night, but we know each other. It's a really good function. But the Hallo zusammen, that's probably my least favorite because...
Really?
Yeah, I mean... Obviously, we've both worked training people to improve their English for a long time, and nothing boils my piss more at the beginning of the lesson saying, hello together. And I was like, no, it's not hello together.
How do you feel about we see us next week?
that's even worse because at that point, I'm clicking leave on the meeting button in Teams, and someone says that, and I'm just like, no, I can't remedy this. And then I'll start the next lesson by telling them off, and that's not a good vibe either. So yeah, those are the two. Yeah. I hate the most, and in the near of that's my other hot button correction.
I always feel terrible correcting anyone's English, even though it's essentially my job.
It's your job,
because I just know how many mistakes I'm making in German, and no one's, like you said with your example, like no one's correcting you. Like no one corrects me. I don't know if they correct you, but no one's ever.
No, I don't get corrected either. And there's a reason we don't get corrected. We're both like 190 plus and like 100 kilos. I've got beard and tattoos. You got like a slightly angry face when you're less than pleased.
Is that what it is? I've recognized that I have that now.
I look furious all the time if I'm not paying attention. So I think, people are like, whoa, no. Because I know other people and they get corrected quite often and they're small and
it's always
bearded and tattooed.
Yeah. I just feel like it's a little bit more, it's more like, I feel like this one's not going to punch me. Right. It's a correction. Like, I'm the least likely. I would never, I'd be really happy if someone corrected my German and gave me some tips.
I think it depends on the correction. If someone is going to pull me up on Daddy Das, I'm not going to give a shit. Like, I don't care.
I know, I've got really good. This is something I think mostly because of kids, like it doesn't happen that much. I had it a couple of months ago in the, there was an issue with the bakery woman I had, like last year, that was really like, but that sort of changed my mentality when it comes to people getting pissy. And I understand, I hear the tone of voice, the pissy tone of voice that I didn't hear before. and I'm more inclined to go like 9 Duncan and just walk off. Like, I'd be more happy than to do that stuff. I think, yeah, you have a lower tolerance for that kind of correction. But if someone was like, oh, you did this, you should have said this. That happens occasionally.
Yeah, that constructive feedback I'm fine with, but just being like, that was wrong.
Mm.
This is right. And it's an article or something. I just don't care. If my pronunciation's off and people don't understand me, yeah, help me with that. But if you knew exactly what I meant, but you just didn't like the daddy or das vibe, get over it.
I've got a bit of a sort of semi-Jedi mind trick going on, because I've got like 2 adorable children, and it's like, objectively, I'm sorry to say, I just have the 2 most adorable kids, which means that whenever and they're very loud as well. And so they're running around, like lots of people are just sort of distracted by them. So I can say any old shit, it doesn't matter. My daughter's kind of with a ginger hair and everyone's like, oh yeah, that's great. And I'm like, duh, is so good, duh, over, duh, duh.
So you've bred yourself a get out of jail free pronunciation card. That's very impressive.
I basically, yeah. My plan was to create some organic smoke screens.
And so, do your kids, do they say Mahlzeit?
No, I don't. Not at all. Not at all. My son takes great pleasure in, because he's only just beginning to form words, and it's still slow going, but. Like, one of the things he loves doing is when we sit down for dinner and it's a guten, and he's like, guten. It's like, it feels like he's part of it. He loves guten and prost and cheers.
That's lovely.
And so you can see where he's at.
Yes. Learning by imitation.
Yeah. Just like, oh, I see what daddy's up to. I mean, it's not like I'm hammered all the time, but I think it's cute to see. But like, there was a period when they were sort of semi indoctrinating my daughter with lots and lots of Christianity, as they will do at the Catholic kindergarten, that she was saying Gruscott, but we hammered that over pretty quickly. we just mocked her mercilessly. That was what we did.
That's
yeah,
the
Christian, are you? You're weirdo.
You're a Crizzo, are you? Crizzo, is it?
If only I hadn't had that in my back pocket, that would have certainly put the cat among the pigeons, I'm sure. You were Crizzo. Jesus.
Ooh, stigmata. Ooh, it hurts.
I feel like there's an ethical question of making fun of my daughter's religion. Like, my daughter's earnestly expressing her religious beliefs.
I don't think she's got the capacity to really evaluate the options in front of her at this point.
Not really at all.
If in 10 years she's made this choice, I will not insult her about it. But for now, I think it's okay to poke a little bit of fun at it.
Fair enough. And I'll do a deal with you. If you promise not to do that, then I'll promise to tell you when she says Mahlzeit for the first time.
Lovely. I will try and teach her about Immanuel Kant and Nietzsche, though.
I would expect nothing less. Yeah. But as long as it still adheres to the famous philosopher Alan Shearer, then we'll be fine.
Did he have a policy on God is dead?
Alan Shearer. Weirdly, Alan Shearer is God and also a philosopher. So he's in this quandary of saying he's dead, but he's not. It's very confusing. No. Every time he looks in the mirror.
Oh, so yeah, thanks, Walter, for your
question. Thanks, Walter. Yeah, no, well done.
We really appreciate it. And yeah, anyone else, any more, we'll take them. We will also get distracted by your lovely questions.
Yeah, we'll happily expand that over a 20-minute period.
Mahlzeit to castles to God in 15 minutes.
I feel like that's the direction of most German conversations, so we're only doing the right thing.
Soda approves.
That brings us to the end of the show. We're all going to look up Perpignan on a map and work out where the hell it is that producer Simon actually went to. If you're enjoying the podcast, why not give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, which only takes a minute and can really help us. You can also rate us on Spotify, so chuck some stars our way there as well. The podcast has accounts on Blue Sky and Instagram, so feel free to follow us on your social media channels of choice. Just search for Decades From Home to find us. As ever, if you have any questions, feedback, or maybe an article, a topic you'd like to cover, you know, questions like our good friend Volta gave us just recently, reach out via any of our social media channels or get us on decadesfromhome@gmail.com. If you have time, take a look at 40%german.com, where weekly articles are up every Saturday. All that's left to say is thanks, and bis zum nächsten Mal. Tschüss!
Ade!